Hi, this is Randall Schwartz, host of Floss Weekly. This week, Aaron Newcomb joins me. We're going to talk about Open Bravo, the scalable open source business management framework. It's got a ton of features. That's coming up next, so stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Aaron Newcomb, episode 223, recorded August 22nd, 2012. Open Bravo. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show about free Libre open source software. I am your host, Randall Schwartz, Merlin at Stonehenge.com, bringing you each week, as often as I can get to it, the movers, the shakers, the big projects, the little projects, big projects you might not have heard of, like maybe to this week's show, little projects that deserve a little bit more airtime, like a few of the shows we've had in the past. Well, I'm almost always joined by a co-host. No exception this week, it's Aaron Newcomb. Welcome back, Aaron.
Hey, Randall. Thanks. Good to be back.
And where are you speaking to us from? It's not the Brick House.
No, it's my lovely office here at home since it's so early. I'll be coming back to the Brick House, though, after this because I'll get up earlier, drop my son off at school, and be able to make it over there. But for now, I caught a few extra winks.
That's really handy. I'm only about a 3-minute drive between where I'm working here and my hotel that I'm currently staying in, at least this week anyway. So I didn't have to get up too early to get here. But man, I tell you, this new hours, it's a bit grinding. However, the advantage is we get done earlier, so I get back to work and get some real stuff done during the day instead of always just writing off the first half of Wednesday. So nice that way. Well, the show isn't about us, although we're going to be in it the whole way through. The show is about our guests, and our guests this week is, hope I pronounce this right, Paolo Huvada, who is coming to us from somewhere in the world. I don't know. His company, Open Bravo, spans like 5 continents or something. We'll have to chat with him a little bit about that. But Open Bravo is an ERP system. And I know those of you that are probably interested in playing buzzword bingo this week, bring out that card because this is an enterprise show. We talk about buzzworthy sort of things. But what an ERP system sort of does, is, from what I can tell, is it manages all that business information, like your financials, your inventory control, maybe some of your HR stuff. It's basically a way of managing all that stuff behind the scenes. And Open Bravo, and see, but we don't have Simon on this week because this is another one of those open core projects. So we're going to have to find out exactly how open the core is and trying to delve into that. And it's also not under an OSI license. So we're going to have to find out where that all comes from, too. I'm sure Simon is like, oh, Randall, I hope you asked the right things. Well, we'll see if I do. I'll try to make a note here of asking those questions. Anyway, have you looked at Open Bravo yet, Aaron?
No, I haven't really looked at Open Bravo that much. I've worked on ERP or worked alongside ERP systems like this in the past. Different places I've worked have used SaaS and even at Oracle, even though I don't work with this stuff, I don't work with ERP systems, but you always hear about them, what's going on, what are the latest features and things like that through the grapevine and corporate emails and all that kind of stuff, blast out those kinds of details. So I'm familiar with ERP, but I've never used Open Bravo. In fact, I don't know of very many open source ERP platforms, so it's going to be good to find out about this one and see if there's any others that are also open source.
Great. Sounds pretty exciting. So let's go ahead and bring on our guest. Paolo Huvada, I hope I'm saying that right. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you very much for having me. Yes, that is the way you pronounce my name.
Oh, very good. Wow, I got it off the first one. I've been studying a bit of Spanish every day for like the last year, so I'm pronouncing this the way I pronounce it in Spanish, so it's probably pretty
well,
close.
I'm actually Italian, so I'm not Spanish, although the company is originally from Spain. I'm Italian, but you pronounce it almost right. The last name is Huvada, but it's good enough.
Okay, great. And well, you're from all over the world, but where are we speaking to you, or where are you speaking to us from today?
I'm located in San Francisco. This is where I live and where the Open Bravo offices are, or at least one of the Open Bravo offices are. The company's originally from Spain. Most of the staff is still located in Spain. We have two offices there, one in Pamplona and one in Barcelona. Then we have an office here in San Francisco. And we also have a small office in Kolkata in India.
Very cool. So that's very international. I did probably a pretty bad job of describing what Open Bravo was at the beginning of the show, but why don't you go ahead and tell us the problem space that Open Bravo lives in and how Open Bravo solves it?
Yes, absolutely. So Open Bravo is a browser-based open source business application. So we play in the space that is traditionally known as ERP. So now the space that the traditional competitors are SAP, Oracle, PeopleSoft, the Microsoft Dynamics products in the US NetSuite. But over time, we kind of have grown to recognize that the term ERP really has almost like a negative connotation, and many companies do not relate to that. So we kind of prefer to talk about business applications in general, and talks about the business problems and the business processes that our applications help to solve, that range from invoice management, order management, accounting, the management of project tracking and project billing, inventory management, production planning, and many other things. The application really is very modular and very extensible, and therefore it has been extended in many areas by our community, ranging from document management, CRM, and really we have expanded beyond the scope of what is traditional ERP into a more general business application management or support for business processes.
So this is more than just a fancy spreadsheet on steroids. There's a lot more to this in depth, and I don't know how much we're going to be able to cover in the time we have together, but what problem would I be solving when I'm looking at this? I mean, I'm a small business, and I have an accountant who takes care of all of my bookwork and stuff, but I sometimes have problems with customer relations management, and sometimes I have problems with just sort of forecasting and you know, travel expense management and things like that. Is this something that I could fit in a little bit here and start to use it as a basis for my workflow?
Yes. So traditionally, small businesses start by having an accounting package that they use to record their transactions, and then they use that to communicate with their accountant, exactly as you described it. But as small businesses grow, they start having an accountant on staff or a dedicated personnel that manage their business. And also they start managing business processes that are more complex than just accounting. They start having inventory tracking, they start having production management, they start having expense reports that require communication and collaboration among a staff of a certain size. And that is where an accounting package starts breaking down, and that is where an application like Open Bravo can play a role. Because it's browser-based, it really allows a lot of people within the organization to collaborate. It also allows you to collaborate with your suppliers, so when you start issuing purchase orders, for example, you can communicate them to your suppliers. You can track the availability of material as soon as they start shipping them to you, so that you know when you're going to receive them, and you can plan your availability for example, for production if you're a manufacturer, or for reselling it to your customers if you're a distributor. And so all of these business processes are very complex. They require orchestrations of a lot of people in the organization, and that is where Open Bravo can really play a role and deliver a lot of benefits.
Well, if I'm communicating with one of my suppliers, I'm sure he's not logging into a website that I'm pointing him at. Are there standard protocols to be able to tie whatever I'm doing with Open Bravo into, say, standard supply chain materials?
Yes, there are a number of protocols. So depends on the size of the supplier. Depends on the size of you as a company. If you're a larger company, in certain cases, you have already agreements with your suppliers, and the suppliers log into your portal and update their information there and look at information there. But there are other very accepted standards for communication like EDI that allow electronic data interchange, that allow to send specific messages to suppliers, in general to third parties, including customers. And those are standard-based messaging that are accepted by many different types of software. Open Bravo per se does not have a connector to EDI directly, but we have the ability to export the information to an EDI connector and then communicate the messages through EDI.
Now, how did Open Bravo get started? What's its history?
So the company started, so the project actually more than the company started really in the early 2000 in Pamplona, in Navarra, and it started as a project to manage the business process of the local university. Out of that initial project, a reusable software, if you want, was created and it was deployed in multiple customers. And eventually in 2005, the idea of creating a formal product and a formal company was raised. And the founders found a local investor, Sodena, that agreed to put in some initial funding, and Open Bravo was born at a point. It was born in January 2006. Published the code at the beginning in April 2006, so that was the first official version of the product, and has been an overnight success since then. I started with 20, 30, 40,000 downloads per month almost immediately, and today we have more than 2.5 million downloads of our product historically. And we estimate that there are about 6,000 companies worldwide that manage their business using Open Bravo.
I know that I'm familiar with some of the commercial packages, of course, but I hadn't really heard about Open Bravo, and I really don't know of a whole lot of other open source ERP projects. Is there a lot of competition? Is there any other open source projects that you guys compete with?
Yes. There are other open source projects. The original one was Compeer, that was started a few years before Open Bravo, and actually Open Bravo has embedded within its core some elements of Compeer. There is also another project called OpenERP. There is Xtuple. And Adempierre. Adempierre is also another derivation or a fork, if you want, of Compeer. Plus a number of other minor open source ERP projects. So there are a good number of them. I would say today probably the most popular are either Open Bravo or OpenERP. And we don't really consider them open source competitors. We consider them almost brothers or cousins, if you want. We would like to compete with the larger established proprietary vendors, and the success of open source vendors is our success as well.
Right. Okay, great. Well, it's a lot more than I realized. How do you think open source benefits this type of software? What does open source bring that you couldn't get from a commercial product?
Yeah, this is a very interesting question. And something that we clearly debate a lot within the product and with the company, within the projects and in our ecosystem. So open source really gives you, of course, the free product that you don't need to pay for, but that is really not a big advantage. I would say that if you are a small company, you're looking for a zero cost or a software with no license, and you look at Open Bravo for that, you're probably misguided, because there are a lot of other considerations in terms of implementation cost and cost of adoptions that trump the cost of the license. However, there are the open source really gives you the freedom to do everything that you want with the software. And when you look at that, is really what the companies want. Open source is one of the things that enable what within Open Bravo called business agility, which is the ability to deploy a software package that supports your business processes, but also to evolve it over time, and to make sure that you can take it in the direction that your company needs and that can support your business processes as the business process evolve. Of course, some of that doesn't necessarily depend on open source. Some of that is just the characteristics of the software, the fact that the software is flexible, adaptable, and modular, regardless of the license under which is released. But open source really takes it to the next stage, because we have a very lively community. You know, there are more than 16,000 developers registered in our community that are developing projects around our platform, and therefore make the extension capability of the software much easier. There are today more than 600 modules available. In a, we have what we call a central repository, which is, if you want some sort of a app store, if you make an analogy with mobile phone, that has components that extend the functionality of the product, and that you can access to it and download it and install them in your application. So the fact that there is this very large community of developers that are building extensions is quite unique to open source. But also the fact that, you know, if you really want to take the product or the usage of the product in a direction that you that is different from what we intend, you don't really have any constraints, and you are not really dependent on the software vendor for to deliver those things to you. You can do it on your own.
Yeah, one of the things I remember from my time working with SaaS is that when you're doing ERP, there's just a lot of customization work that needs to be done based on, you know, every company runs differently, much differently actually. The internal workings are a lot different. So I can imagine what you're saying, you know, about being able to easily go in and customize things and even add code that may, you know, work better with your particular environment would be a pretty big benefit for people.
Yes, absolutely. Now, it is a double-edged sword because OpenBravo gives you the ability to customize the software, or actually open source in general gives you the ability to customize the software. But the moment you have customized the software, you have modified the source code, you are more or less end up with a fork of the project, right? So you end up having to manage that entire source code, and if we release a new version, you have to merge the two streams of modifications to make sure that you can upgrade, which can be a fairly expensive proposition. Now, OpenBravo, one of the unique value propositions of OpenBravo is the fact that we have developed a very sophisticated module management architecture that allows all of the customizations to be isolated in independent modules, so that when you upgrade the underlying release or the underlying distribution that we provide, that doesn't impact your customization and your extensions. And that dramatically reduces the cost of upgrade and therefore ensures the low total cost of ownership over a number of years, but also the long-term viability of the investment that you make in your business applications.
Right. Well, that's great. That makes a big difference. What about, if I wanted to start using this, let's say I've got a small company or maybe a medium-sized company, I'm just about ready to need this kind of a tool. How do I get started? Is this something I can, download and get running myself? Is it easy to set up, or do you offer a hosted service?
We offer a variety of deployment options. You can come to our website, download the source code, compile it and do it everything yourself. That of course is available to open source. In that case, the installation is quite complex, and the complexity doesn't really come from OpenBravo, but it comes from the necessity of properly configure all of the underlying technology stack. So you need a relational database, either Postgres or Oracle. You need Java. You need Ant. You need Apache. You need a good number of technology components that are quite difficult to install, and more importantly, quite difficult to make sure that they are consistently configured and work together. So to resolve this problem, we have released a number of deployment packages that make it easy for people to deploy. The first one is on Ubuntu. In Ubuntu distributions, we are part of the partner repository, so we just from the Ubuntu Software Center, you can click OpenBravo and you can deploy the entire package, including all the technology stack, with just a click. The other options is to use virtual appliances. So we support virtual appliances that run with all sorts of virtualization software, from VirtualBox, VMware, QEMU, all sorts of appliances. We also support Amazon Elastic Clouds. So every time that we release an update to our software, we publish a new version of an AMI that allows our community and our users to start the software on Amazon. And very recently, we also started doing hosting ourselves. And so we now have Open Bravo on Demand that is available directly and provided by us. Now, we are a commercial open source provider. So you can choose between our community edition that you can use without any commercial relationship with us, or you can use Open Bravo Professional Edition, which is the same software with some additional capabilities, but fundamentally the same software with the same license, and has the main advantage of being deployed and being supported by our partners. So if you are a business, you typically don't want to install, configure, and deploy your business applications yourself. You want to use professional services and some expert that can guide you through this process. And our partners provide that role. As you were saying before, typically an ERP system or a business application in general needs to be customized to be adapted to the unique business processes of your company. So somebody has a bit to understand, first of all, what those business processes are and what is the best way to support them with the software is really a key player in the process of delivering value to end users. And that is the role that our partners provide. Our partners really are the best Open Bravo professionals. You know, we ensure that they are trained, that they get certified, so we guarantee that they have knowledge of our product. We continuously vet their skills and ensure that they are able to successfully deliver to customers. And most importantly, they are supported by us, so they have direct access to the core development team behind the project. And that really makes sure that every project is successfully delivered and customers are always satisfied.
So now I'm curious about that, and I know I have to ask this question or Simon will yell at me the next time I hear him. Can I start with the professional edition and get up and running and then realize that I'm not using anything that's not in the open core version, the community edition, and migrate back?
Yes, absolutely. So this is something that is quite unique to Open Bravo. I know that many companies that have commercial open source have a completely different license, and that results into once you choose the professional edition, you cannot go back. With Open Bravo, really, you can move both ways. So you can start with community edition and then upgrade to professional edition. And once you are on professional edition, which is essentially a subscription service, if you are not satisfied with the subscription service, you can simply discontinue it and continue to use the software. If you have installed some of the commercial extensions, so one of the principles behind our ecosystem that we really believe that what we do is open source, but our ecosystem also deliver commercial extensions, and so that it's possible to deliver modules on top of Open Bravo that are commercial. If you have deployed a commercial module on top of your professional edition and you want to discontinue the usage of professional edition, you can also continue to use that commercial module, but you will no longer receive any update or any new versions about that commercial module.
That's quite a generous combination of open core. I think it's probably the easiest to agree with open core if that's even compatible for anybody. But
yes, we thought about it a long time, and we really felt that this was the fairest way for our community and the best way for us to go.
So in terms of the community edition, are most of your changes made by people internal to your company, or are you getting a pretty good contributions from the outside?
We are also getting a pretty contribution from the outside. We have several contributions that come from our partners. It's actually an increasing number of contributions come from our partners. Mm-hmm. Contribution that also come from not just member of our free community, either students that want to get some exposure into our projects, or users that want a small minor feature or a bug fix. Now we are getting a good number of those. Because of our modular architecture, however, we are actually made it so that when you contribute to the core, you really depend on us. So what we do when you contribute to the core is that we require you to submit your changes, we review them, And if we accept them, we then include them into the core so that we make sure that there is no quality issue with contribution that come from external parties. That process kind of puts us at the center and makes it so that we are, in a sense, we are the bottleneck. And our modular architecture really is designed to allow people to develop extension, contribution, and additional capabilities really completely independently from us. We provide a service which we call the Forge, forge.openbravo.com, where we provide all the tools that allow people to develop modules, publish modules, and promote modules so that they can do that independently without any need for us. And I will say that to date, probably the largest part of the contribution that we receive are in the form of modules.
Do you also take input from your Community Edition users about the roadmap, the direction that this is going, or is that all really decided by your more commercial customers?
No. We take very strong input from the community, and it's actually the community is a very, very important aspect of our development process. So we start by we leverage the service user voice to get feedback out from our users. So openbravo.uservoice.com, people can go there and vote for the features that they like the most. That is an aspect that goes into our roadmap, into the planning of our roadmap. Other aspects, of course, is our own experience, our own desire of taking the product in specific directions, as well as certainly our commercial customers. All of those are inputs that come into the roadmap planning. The roadmap is then published to the community for feedback. We have a wiki.openbravo.com, and one of the prominent links on that site is the public roadmap. And so everybody in the community can comment and give us feedback on that roadmap. What we are actually trying to do now is to try to collaborate further with our community so that the roadmap that we published today is the roadmap of the features that we are going to build as part of Core. We are now trying to extend that roadmap so that it also includes the features that somebody else in our community would like to build or is committed to build, so that there is further collaboration among parties and there is less redundant work of different people working on the same project without knowing that there is overlapping.
Wow, that's commendable. I'm hearing really good things that you're saying. It's really sort of refreshing. I was expecting to come in here with a teeth bearing, and it sounds like you've taken away my fangs. So nice.
Sorry about that.
No, I'm glad to hear that somebody sort of worked this out in a way that, that it's just as close to open source, pure open source as you can get, with still having, some components that are there to help you pay the bills at the end of the day.
Yes,
I do have a couple questions, though. I understand you're not using one of the OSI licenses. Why is that, and how is it different from the OSI licenses?
Yeah, as I was expecting this question. So we use the OpenBravo public license, which is a variation of the Mozilla public license plus attribution. At the time when we made that decision, there was no OSI license that had the same characteristics. At the moment, there are a number of OSI licenses that would allow us to do the same. So I think eventually we will probably switch either to an OSI license with attribution or to the pure Mozilla public license and just giving up the attribution. So when we first started the project, we thought that the attribution aspect was important, that if somebody were to fork us, they would at least promote our brand. Over the years, we realized that is actually not a big advantage, and the downside of not being OSI approved is bigger than the benefits of the attribution. So we eventually would like to change it and to go to an OSI approved license. We simply haven't had the time to do it.
It's interesting. I think one license you might not have looked at, and as soon as I mention it, you might actually consider it, is Artistic 2, which is the license that Perl's currently under, because that requires that if they fork it and it's a different version, they can't call it Perl anymore because it was forked from Perl.
Yes, exactly. So that is one of the licenses that we have approved, that we are considering. One of the issues that is that it might not be compatible with some of the components that we embed within our product. So we need to go through that legal review, and that legal review is what has kind of prevent us prevented us to do the switch up to now. Mm-hmm. But certainly we would like to switch to an OSI approved license.
Very good. And how hard is that going to be? Do you have contributor agreements? So everything's really owned by you guys at this point?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so
but, with the exception of the components that we have embedded, and the primary one, as I was saying at the beginning, is so we have embedded at the origin of the product some of the components that come from Compeer, which is another open source ERP project, and those components we can, you know, the license at the time would allow us to license under either MPL or GPL. We do not like GPL because we would like to have a non-viral license, so a license that allows commercial derivative work. So we have the issue of what to do there.
Okay. I want to go back to some little more technical questions now. So what's this all implemented in?
The underlying technology is Java, so we have a number of technology components. So of course we have a relational database in the background. The middle tier runs in Java, and then we now have a very rich with the latest version of our product, a very rich user interface which runs in HTML5 and JavaScript.
Mm-hmm. And how does someone transition to this? I mean, so my small office is using QuickBooks at one end and email at the other as our main means of communication. How would you start from that and get this running? I'm probably asking the same thing everybody does when they start to stare at this thing. How do I transition to this? I mean, do you run both systems simultaneously for a while until it's all proven? Or do you just keep changing one component out at a time? Or how does that work?
There are two different strategies. One is a big bang switch, so you go through an implementation project that will allow you to configure the system to migrate your data from QuickBooks and from whatever other applications that you're running into Open Bravo. And then at a point you stop using, typically at the end of a quarter, at the end of a fiscal year, you stop using your old system and you start using Open Bravo. Mm-hmm. That is a frequently and is the traditional way of deploying ERP packages and to do transitions. It is, however, quite expensive and it takes a long time to get the return on investment because you really know if you're using QuickBooks, this is a relatively small project. But if you've been using Epicor or Microsoft Navision or another established ERP package for a number of years, doing a switch might require a certain, you probably have a lot of data to migrate. And so it's a fairly long project. So what we are trying to advocate to our customers that actually a best practice is to start by starting to support new business processes or the business processes that you currently do not support with your existing system or that are a particular pain point and start supporting those with Open Bravo. Open Bravo is very open, so we have open interfaces that are Java-based or REST REST interface. So it's very easy to synchronize with external systems and so you can continue to run your system, then lay Open Bravo next to it and start supporting new business processes with Open Bravo so that you have a very short time to return. You address your pain point first and you start seeing the benefits of using Open Bravo right away. And then over time, little by little, kind of migrate one business process at a time into Open Bravo.
Mm, sounds great. So how do I do capacity planning for this? Is this scale really well? Can I, do I need like one box for every 10 people or something like that?
It scales very well. So we publish, and you can find them on our wiki, measures using Amazon Elastic Cloud Images as point of references. I think that the latest test that we did, if I remember correctly, I don't want to quote numbers that are not absolutely precise, but on a medium-sized instance, we can run up to 200 concurrent users. And when I say 200 concurrent users, I mean heads down concurrent users, so people that are continuously hitting the keyboard and creating transactions all the time. So on a medium instance, we can support up to 200 concurrent users, which is a fair amount of people, and it's a large organization.
So one thing I noticed, just looking at your bio, I know you, and we probably should mention this. I mean, you're no beginner at this. I mean, you worked for Oracle for a number of years, working on ERP, I think, and a number of other software. So you come to this with a pretty good background already under your belt. I'm just kind of curious what your opinions are on enterprise software adoption in general in the enterprise space. I think I was looking here. I think you did a talk or participated in a panel a little while ago talking about this. I'm just kind of wondering what your opinions are on how things are going as far as enterprise adoption of open source projects and platforms.
Yes, this is something that I talked to or participated in a panel, as you said, at OSBC a couple of months ago. Open source is becoming, we all know, is becoming a predominant technology. So enterprises are more and more open to adopt open source, and the more sophisticated enterprises have very specific open source adoption strategies. So as one of my co-panelists was a person from SAP, so in a sense a competitor, but also, you know, he was saying that even including SAP has strategies for adoption of open source inside the company. Of course, the product they produce or that they distribute are not open source, but they are open source users. They embed open source in their technology in their product. But to date, I think adoption has been primarily on the technology side. There is a lot of adoption of database technology, open source database technology, big data technology, middle tier technology. When it comes to user facing application, has been different, right? And it's different because one of the key components of open source is you need to scratch your own itch, and when you look at business applications, the developers are not the users of the application. Therefore, you really cannot scratch your own itch. So it's a bit different there, and what we are seeing is that because of that. In the case of an ERP, which is probably the ultimate enterprise application, if you look at CRM, document management, and other classes of enterprise applications, perhaps have different adoption patterns. But in the case of an ERP, what we are seeing is that depending on the company size, there are different adoption patterns. If you look at large companies, they tend to have and IT departments with developers. In certain cases, their development teams that is working on the OpenBravo project is larger than our own development team. So they really have the ability to take full advantage of open source. And they love the open source technology. They love the freedom that they get from open source technology. And that is what drives their adoption. But when you go to smaller and medium customers, really, now, the benefit of open source is not there because they're not developers and therefore they cannot really take advantage of that. And if they are, they probably they shouldn't, right? Because if you are a small business owner, really the last thing that you should be doing is not fidgeting with your ERP. You really should be focused on your business. So among small and medium business owners, so small and medium businesses in general, I would say the adoption there is driven by the service providers. So those businesses relies on external parties, on professionals to prescribe and implement and guide them through the adoption of the technology. And so in our case, the adoption, which is that is mostly the largest part of our customer base is. So the adoption is really driven by the service providers, and that is why we have developed a partner driven business model. Our commercial package, OpenBravo Professional Edition, is not available directly to us. We only distribute it through partners because we think that is the way customers want to consume the software.
So I'm sorry, I might have missed that. You said you only distribute through two partners?
Through partners. Not through. We only distribute through our network of partners. Today have 125 partners.
Sorry, I misunderstood there. I was like, wow, how can you do all this with only two partners? Amazing.
Two partners would not be possible.
Well, that's interesting. I know when I used to work with Sun, we used to have a similar feeling about partners. We always said that, you know, partners, really enabled our business. And it sounds like you're using the same approach with your partners. I'm just kind of curious, getting back to the open source in the enterprise thing. One thing that I always tell younger people, I guess I'm getting old now, but you know, as far as how do I get started? Some people have questions. How do I get started? I want to be a software developer, and I always tell them, and lots of other people, including people, you know, Google's own website, I think, even says, you know, go get started in open source because you can contribute easily to open source. You know, get your name kind of out there, attached to some software, and show potential employers that you have the chops, so to speak, to be able to really do good software development. So I'm kind of curious if, for example, with Open Bravo, do you recruit that way? I mean, do you hire people that are have contributed to the software?
Yes, absolutely. So we contribute a lot of we recruit a lot of people that come from out of school, so fresh graduates that want to participate in Open Bravo. And now, one of the reasons why they want to participate in Open Bravo is because it is an open source project, and so it is definitely a motivation for new employees. But we are also have several cases of people that have been involved with Open Bravo for a while as contributors in various degrees, either because they were committers, or because they developed modules, or because they participate in our QA process. And then they contacted us and says, "Oh, I would like to be an employee if you have an opportunity." And then when the opportunity arises, we hire them. So that has happened in a number of cases. That is certainly a possibility. One of the benefits to that, enlarging a bit the scope of your question, you said that I've been in this business for a while, so I had an opportunity to see how software development is done on an industrial scale with many, many large companies. And I have to say that open source actually is very, very competitive. The tools, the processes that are adopting open source, adopting open source because you have this community and you are forced to do software development in the large with a lot of people involved. So the processes that are following open source really as best class processes. And so it's a great opportunity to learn how software is developed and how software projects are managed.
How do you, as we were talking at the beginning of the show, your company is spread out on, I guess, five continents maybe.
Yeah.
What challenges does that present you, and how have you solved those?
You know, it presents challenges, but it also presents opportunities. So the challenge is clearly communication and making sure that everybody is aligned. And I would say that this is probably more an issue on making sure that there is alignment on business. What is the business intent of the company? What are the business priorities? What is it that we are trying to do? Like we are still a relatively young business, and so our business model is evolving, and our priorities change over time. And so making sure that all of the people that are involved in this in this larger process that spans from marketing, sales, channel management, all those people are aligned, and that when we change the position or we change something or some of the priorities, that is properly communicated through the entire company so that everybody can work as a team and in the same direction. Certainly, if we were all co-located, that part will be simpler. And the fact that we are distributed makes it a bit more difficult. It requires a lot of travel, mm-hmm. So I spend significant time of my time on planes. But when it comes to software development, I don't think it's an issue. I think that the tools that are available really are now capable of supporting distributed software development teams, and so the fact that we are distributed and that we can have developers find the best talent where it happens to be, really is an advantage and not a challenge in any way.
And now a question just occurs to me. Do you eat your own dog food? Do you use Open Bravo internally for your management?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We do. And in many cases, we are not a best practice company. So we are struggling with our own implementation of the software because it is always the last. No, the things that we need, the change in the configuration, are always the last priority. Right? Customers always come first. So we do not have a best class implementation of the software, but we do use it. So we do it our own fault.
And I have one question from the chat room. I want to make sure I get to this. Steve Dorries in the chat room says, do more people install with Postgres or with Oracle?
Definitely Postgres is actually, so we have the statistics of that, 92% of our users install run on Postgres. For our class of software, Postgres is definitely more than adequate. There are really very, very few customers that require the advanced capabilities that Oracle has and that Postgres does not have. And so the customers that choose Oracle over Postgres, they do it mostly because they already have an Oracle implementation. So they have their DBAs are already trained on Oracle and they do not want to learn a new database, not because of technical limitations of Postgres.
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed with Postgres. It's Oracle without the price in lots of different measurements there. And Aaron, don't listen. Okay. well, you didn't mention MySQL at all, though. Do people still use that on green starts?
We actually do not support MySQL.
Yay! Sorry.
One of the reasons why we do not support MySQL is that we do still have some server-side logic, some database triggers and functions that we are able to install relatively easily across Oracle and Postgres, but building the installation tools to deploy them to convert them and deploy them on MySQL will be too expensive, and we haven't found a reason to do it. We get this request. No, we get the request of supporting additional databases fairly frequently. I would say the most requested one is actually not MySQL, is DB2, followed by SQL Server, and then MySQL is third. But at the moment, we have decided to stick with Postgres and Oracle.
Yeah, those are the two best anyway. If you want to have unpaid and paid, those are the two best. So I agree with you there. I was prepping for the show, I was skipping through your list of existing customers there, your testimonials, and I stumbled across TriMet. TriMet is the transit company of Portland, Oregon, and I've frequently ridden TriMet buses and all sorts of stuff over there. So it's sort of nice to see that sort of hometown reference there for me.
Yes, absolutely. So if you go, so they have a store where they sell tickets in the main square of the city. I think it's Washington Square, but I'm not positive.
I know Pioneer Square would be downtown.
Pioneer Square. Thank you. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I apologize about that. So if you go there and you buy a ticket, the point of sale system that they use is Open Bravo.
Wow. Cool. Well, the next time I go there, I'll know I have a little piece of conversation with the head dude himself about this thing. So this is really cool. Very cool. We're almost out of time, but I want to make sure that we covered everything you wanted to cover. Is there anything we've left out that you want to make sure our audience is aware of?
Well, so I just wanted to reposition a bit Open Bravo and explain again or recap a bit what Open Bravo is about. Really, what we do are browser-based open source applications that are cloud ready, and the fact that they are open source application, that the architecture of the system is modular and flexible, really enables company to support business agility, to have a system that once deployed is not locked down in a feature set that cannot be modified, but is a system that can be evolved over time as the business process and the business need change. And that really enables small and medium businesses to be very competitive, because now their ability to change to market condition changes is what really drives their success. And that is a very, very important component of Open Bravo and one of the things that is driving our adoption.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, Paulo, it's been a real pleasure chatting with you. Like I said, I came in with some fangs, knowing this was an open core, and you defanged me all the way through, and I really appreciate it. You definitely have a company that's looking forward to really supporting and serving your customers, both by providing a community edition that's nearly everything the full edition is, and by providing easy paths to go back and forth and all sorts of great stuff like that. So I want to thank you for coming on the show and talking to us about Open Bravo.
Thank you.
That was Paolo Huvara, who represents the Open Bravo company. Aaron, what do you think?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, one of the most interesting things to me is just, you know, even for someone like myself, you go down this chain of hearing about commercially available software packages, and sometimes you forget that to look for the open source alternatives. And I think this is a pretty good one to investigate if you were looking at an ERP system. They seem to offer all the features that you might need, and you can, if you're inclined, you can contribute back or create some custom modules that might plug into your system and contribute those back. They may help somebody else who's got a similar system. So I think it's a really, really cool project, and I'm just glad that there's such a great open source alternative out there in the marketplace.
Yes, and I really appreciate the fact that I could actually get started with using a professional consultant to come in and use the professional edition for a while, and then once I felt that I was comfortable with it, and I could sort of, you know, because I'm no dummy about stuff like this, but I'm not necessarily the smartest guy in the building either about it. So bring in some sort of professional organization to transition my business over to something like this. And then if I decide, hey, I'm not really using the support very much. I'm mostly just going out on the IRC channels and chatting about this with the people, and I don't really need that level of support anymore, that I can just, you know, flip a switch and I'm back on my own and participating in the community instead. That was refreshing. That was definitely refreshing to hear that was possible with this particular project and product. I also like that it's way past the point of not having critical mass. So we could definitely count on Open Bravo being around tomorrow and next month and next year and, you know, and onward. So that's great too, because I hate getting into projects that lose support at some point because nobody's playing along with them. So anything else?
No, I mean, I just wish them all the success. I think there's plenty of room. I mean, this is a very complicated set of problems to solve for customers. And so there's plenty of room for lots of people to play in the space. And so I think this is great. It's very, very complicated. Like you say, hiring someone in, a partner or some support specialist to come in and help you implement this is almost always the way to go, just because it is so complicated. You know, it's very difficult for people to set up on their own. So you know, it sounds like they've got the right partner network in place and everything. So yeah, I think it's great. I think people should go check it out.
Yeah, it'd be similar to, you know, like I didn't just go get into the pilot seat of a plane and just read the manual and then go, okay, I think I can fly this. You know, I had 40 hours of instruction with an instructor to be able to do it, because there's just things you don't realize you're missing or not thinking about. And thank God that they require instructors so that I didn't kill myself on the first time I took off by myself. So exactly. Very, very cool that way. Very cool. Speaking of Postgres, since we did a couple times. Oh, first I wanted to thank, well, it's great that they said, no, we're not going to support MySQL. I love that. That's so cool. Friends don't let friends. Oh, sorry, Aaron, cover your ears. Friends don't let friends use MySQL. That's my current take on that. If you're going to use something, use MariaDB. It's upstream of MySQL now. But Aaron, don't listen. All right. Anyway, so speaking of Postgres, next week we have, in fact, somebody from the Enterprise DB company, who is the one of the leaders in commercializing Postgres, is going to come in and talk to us, not just about commercializing Postgres, because that's interesting too, similar to how Open Bravo was commercialized this time. But more importantly, I had Postgres on as the very first guest I ever had. I had Josh Burkus come in, the community manager, and we talked about that was like 4 or 5 years ago. And Postgres has come a huge way since then, a remarkable amount of ways. So I want to make sure that we wanted to update y'all on what Postgres has got going on. We also have coming up on the short list, we have Twisted Python framework, which is a way of having a multiple concurrent tasks inside a Python program and have them all sorted out through event logic and stuff. Just added to the schedule, some more enterprisey stuff for you guys that like this kind of thing. We've got Jaspersoft, which is apparently one of the biggest business intelligence software package people. So lots of stuff going on there. We've got KVM, which is the virtualization management system that I think Red Hat is maintaining these days, and sort of the backbone of most of what these cloud systems are using these days. Also just added to the schedule since last week. We have HPCC Systems, which is for high-performance computing. Yes, we're going to talk about calculating trillions and quadrillions of petaflops a second, or whatever the phrase is. I know. I can already hear like seven people are just screaming at home now. No, it's not petaflops per second. Come on, that's what the OPS means at the end. Never mind. And also the just kind of a little bit diverse project here. We've got the Air ER chatbot, which is a something that sits on Jabber or maybe IRC. I think it's mostly Jabber, and allows you to have program responses and automated distribution of information, things like that. So chatbots. We haven't had a chatbot, I think, in a couple of years. It's kind of nice we're bringing that on. Lots more coming up. We've got a lot of email flying around. I opened up Q4 last weekend, and so I've got some slots being filled in. We're still waiting for some email to come back from some of the people who are asking again to be on the show. You can always find out the status of that by going to twit.tv/floss. That's twit.tv/FLOSS. Why would I need to spell floss on this show? I'm sorry. Anyway, go there. From there, there's a spreadsheet link that talks about all my upcoming guests, including the upcoming immediate schedule and all the people we're talking to be on the show. If you want somebody on the show that's not on that list or is way down at the bottom of that list, contact them and let them know how cool Floss Weekly is, and they should email me. The email address is right there, too, merlin@stonethedge.com. We did take a couple of questions. We took a question at least from the chat room. We do have a live chat room. We tape at 8:30 in the morning Pacific time on Wednesdays, typically. You can chat there with us and put your own questions in, just like we had today. You can follow me at MERLYN on Twitter and Identica, although I don't post anything to Identica. But mostly I'm on Google Plus these days, Randall L. Schwartz on Google Plus. Got a lot of followers there. Been having a great conversation with stuff. If you follow me, you know that we would come up. Oh, sorry. You can also follow Floss Weekly on Google Plus, and we post announcements of guests that we've added and so on. I'll be in Dragon Con in a few weeks, a couple weeks actually, from August 30th to September 3rd. That's in Atlanta. Big giant conference there. I'm going to have a great time as always. My 11th year there as a guest there, which means I get to go to the cool green room and everything else. I'll be in a planning retreat. It's not a vacation because the IRS requires it to be a business purpose for it. So I'm going on a planning retreat to New Orleans from September 28th to October 5th. And I hope to bump into some people there. I'm probably even going to do a Floss Weekly directly from there. Busy most of the time, but I should be down on Bourbon Street every night. So watch my tweet ups there. Watch for my Instagrams of whatever hurricane drink I'm drinking at the moment. Also, my friends over at Starship Sofa wanted me to say that their show is going strong. Starship Sofa, Google for that. I think it's starshipsofa.com. But they've been nominated for a Hugo Award again. They already won the Hugo Award a couple of years ago, the first podcast to ever win that. And they're up again, I guess, and voting happens all the way through Dragon Con, so, which is the same weekend as the other conference where they actually give out the Hugos. So if you're a member of that and can participate in that, please do so. Starship Sofa, my friend Tony Smith, there's a shout-out for that. I had been recording shows for them, bits for them, but I'm just way too busy these days. I want to get back doing that. I don't feel like doing voiceovers, but I can't do it. Enough plugging for me. Aaron, which do you want to plug?
Well, if you want to follow me, you should do so on Google+. That's where I spend the majority of my time. You can also follow me on Facebook or Twitter. That's fine. But Google Plus is where you'll actually be able to interact with me, talk to me, and make suggestions and see what kind of projects I am currently working on. I do a lot of making in my spare time when I have little time I have. But I do a lot of making and do a lot of projects. So if you want to check out some of those projects, like this little, I don't know if you can see this little tin, a little minty tin that I put my Raspberry Pi in. So if you like the Raspberry Pi or want to learn more about the Raspberry Pi, here you can see the inside. There's my little Raspberry Pi inside my little minty tin. So if you like projects like that, hacking projects, making projects, you should add me to your circles on Google Plus and follow what I'm doing. And I don't know. We'll see what else happens. Leo, last time I was on This Week in Google, Leo mentioned maybe getting together to continue the source, which I've been neglecting for the past year. And so there may be some opportunities there. If you want to see more of me on the Twit Network, ping Leo and tell him he should hook up with me.
Sounds very good. Well, once again, Aaron, thank you for co-hosting this show with me and providing your own input and insight into the project of who we were talking with this week.
Yeah, it's always fun, Randall. I look forward to being on next time. Oh, one more thing. If you, because I don't know if I'll be on before this, but if you're in the Midwest area and you want to go to a good Linux conference, you should check out Ohio Linux Fest, because I believe that's at the end of September. So just in just about a month's time, they're going to have Ohio Linux Fest. It's a really great show. I used to go every year when I was out that way, when I lived there. And you should really check it out. It's a great show. And, you know, go ahead and sign up now. Get ready to go, because you're not going to want to miss it. If you're, you know, if you're in that area, especially within, you know, a few hours drive or something, it's definitely worth the trip.
Yeah, I think I went a couple years ago and I had a really great time. Very enthusiastic people there. There's also the there's also the Texas Linux Fest, which is was a whole heck of a lot of fun as well. But in fact, there's probably Linux Fest in pretty much every corner of the U.S. So I'm sure you could spend all your weekends in most of the year going somewhere about Linux.
Yeah, I try to plug them when we get the chance, but sometimes it slips my mind because I'm getting old.
Aren't we all? And by the way, for those that are curious, it's been about 7 months since I started the beard, and I think it's my new image. I'm liking it. I think I'm going to stick with it. In fact, just last week, I updated my Facebook and my Twitter pictures to have my new headshot that has the beard. So I think it's going to be the new image for me online. So now I got to figure out all the other hundreds of places I put that other headshot and update it all. It's going to be tricky, crazy stuff. But anyway, Aaron, thanks again. And thank you all out there in our audience land for listening to the show and talking about it online and telling your friends about it. We appreciate all that. We appreciate it when people talk good about us. And if you have something bad to say, email me, merlin@stoneage.com, and I'll see if I can accommodate you. Well, I hear the music coming up behind me. You know what that means. It's time for us to go. So we'll see you all again next week on Floss Weekly. Ooh!